can have a seat. As you take a seat, go ahead and open in your Bibles, if you have them, to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there's one on a seat back there somewhere in front of you, and you can go ahead and take that out, and the table of contents will help you navigate to the book of Hebrews. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word, that is our gift to you. We want you to have a copy of God's Word in your hands so that you can see for yourself what the Lord has to say to us through His Word. We are in an ongoing series in this book of Hebrews, this sermon-like letter. Okay, and what it is an encouragement to us to look to Jesus, to keep going, to not abandon our faith, to not look to the law and to legalism, but rather to relationship with the Lord. And our hope over these next months is that as a church, we would be increasingly captivated by the beauty of our Savior and compelled to persevere in following Him. If you're there, Hebrews chapter 2, we're just going to be looking at four verses this morning. Pastor Chris is going to have more verses to do next week because of that, but that's all right. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Let's read them here as we get started. It says this: "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Verse 2, because since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord. It was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will." Look there, chapter 2, verse 1, and let's start. It says right out of the gates, it says, therefore, or your translation may say, "for this reason." Every time we come to a therefore in Scripture, we stop and we ask the question, what is it there for, right? Why is it there? It's connecting two text is what this is doing. So it's connecting what was in chapter 1 to now what we're going to see in chapter 2. And we need to be careful that we don't move too quickly past this. When we come to a therefore, we're supposed to stop, look back, and remember. It means that we ought to now be affected by what was before. And if you remember from the last 2 weeks, what we saw was 15 different descriptions of our Lord. We can be really bad about seeing and experiencing things that are amazing and then just moving right past them. Last week, we had some family in town, and they took us to the Cincinnati Zoo. If you've never been to the Cincinnati Zoo, it's incredible. I love the zoo, and when our kids were little, we got to go to the zoo all the time, and we don't anymore, and I wonder when it's okay that I just go for myself. And we got to do that at the Cincinnati Zoo, and something at the Cincinnati Zoo that they had that I'd never seen before was hippos. Hippos are incredible. Like we went down and there was like this glass in front of us and there was water in it. You can see past the water to the land, and the hippos were down in the water, and there was a mama hippo and a baby hippo, which was super cute. And then there was another hippo in there. And at one point, mama was warning the other hippo to keep its distance from the baby hippo, which you think baby hippo, think like the size of like a Volkswagen. Okay, it's still quite large. And the mama was warning this other hippo, and they had like this underwater battle. I mean, they opened their mouths like 3 feet wide. They have foot-long tusks in their mouth, and they yelled at each other. I'm sure there's a better term for what they were doing than that, but they were roaring or whatever they was doing, and you could hear it coming through the water and reverberating through the glass to us. Like, it was awesome. And here's what I found myself doing. I turned over and I saw an ice cream stand and I go, "Ooh, I'm hungry." You know? And that's exactly what we do. So often in this life, the Lord shows us something incredible, something amazing, something beautiful about him. And we go, ooh, look at this. And we're distracted. Don't do that here. When you see a therefore in scripture, stop and go, I'm supposed to recognize something from what came before. I need to stop for a second and be in awe. Look at the lists that we're going to put on the screen. These are all the descriptions that we saw over the last couple weeks of our Lord. Don't go too quickly past this. The Son of God is the prophet, the consummate communication of God. He's the heir of all things. He's the creator. He's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He is the sustainer of everything. He is the savior. He is the great high priest. He's the king. He's the unique Son of God, the promised Davidic king. He is worshiped as God by the angels. He's the commander and the creator of the angels. He is the righteous king. He is the eternal, unchanging creator. And the last one is what I find to be one of the most incredible. He is the triumphant redeemer, who has accomplished what we see in verse 3 today, who has accomplished our great salvation. I stopped this week and I was trying not to go too fast past the therefore and just thinking about our great salvation even. All of us have unique stories about how the Lord drew us to himself, the journeys that he took us on to do that, which, by the way, I'd encourage you. I was thinking this week and I was like, you know, I don't often enough when I'm with you all just stop and ask, hey, how did you come to Christ? Like, would you do that with each other? We're meant to celebrate that. We're meant to be bolstered in our faith by each other's journeys. Celebrate with each other. Recall it. If it was 50 years ago or if it was last week, like, learn those stories about each other and celebrate them. So our stories are unique, but in some sense, our stories are all the same too, aren't they? In that we were all once, apart from Jesus, dead in our trespasses and sins. We were destined only for an eternity separated from God, where we would only experience forever his just wrath. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, pursued us with the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, and he opened our eyes to both see his beauty and to see the gravity of our sin, and he softened our hearts to understand that we were in need of him, a savior, and he drew us to himself, and he saved us, and he adopted us into his family, and he connects us eternally and joyfully to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't go too quickly past the therefores. When we see a therefore in scripture, it's meant to connect us back to something that is foundational that we need to know in order to move on to what we are going to be told next. And this is absolutely foundational to understanding the book of Hebrews and what God has for us, okay? So therefore, verse 1, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. In this passage, we have a warning, okay? Warnings are good. Warnings are gifts. You probably got some warnings this week on your phone. Excessive heat. We were laughing about it as a family because we were outside. Amy and I were, and we were feeling the heat, and our phones buzzed and said, excessive heat. And we're like, no joke. Like, we feel it, okay? You get a warning on the side of your coffee that says hot, just in case you don't remember that. There's warnings at railroad crossings. Warnings are good. Warnings prevent disaster and protect us. Another zoo illustration. I think it was this past week, a woman at a zoo. She ignored all of the warning signs. She climbed over a fence at a tiger enclosure, and she proceeded to reach her hand through the wire rungs to either feed or touch the tiger, who then was agitated and almost took her arm off. This all happened in New Jersey, which shouldn't surprise any of us. Sorry, all you New Jerseyers or whatever you call yourselves. Warnings are proactive, okay? This is important for us to know. They're not declarations of what already is. So when she read that warning that she chose to disregard, it didn't say, you are dead. Don't go over this fence. It said, don't go over this fence or you might die. You might be eaten. They're preventative. When our kids were little, I'm not recommending this necessarily. When our kids were little, we chose to scare them about what it would look like to cross the road without mom and dad, without looking both ways. And I'm not even gonna tell you the very clear description that we gave to them about what would happen, because some of your kids are in here and it's up to you parents how you choose to terrify them, okay? But we did. We're like, listen, if you choose to do this, this is what will happen to you. We didn't say this has already happened to you. We said this will. So it won't if you listen. If you heed the warning, that's important for us. There are five warning passages in Hebrews that we are gonna cover over the months ahead. This is the first one of them. And different people have faithful and good interpretations of what these mean, okay? But here's where I'm at with these. These warning passages are meant to be a means of grace. They are given to us by God in order to help us persevere in the faith, okay? They are not meant to make you doubt your salvation. We have tortured ourselves, believers, often on some of these passages, and I believe we have interpreted them wrong. Remember, this is written to who? To the church. It's written predominantly to believers. There are unbelievers in their midst as there are in ours, but it's predominantly for believers. And so a side note for us here this morning is this. We believe in the eternal security of the believer. And when I say that, you're like, Nate, okay, what does that mean? Here it is in my terms. When God saves you, he saves you. He saves you. Scripture in Romans chapter 6 describes it like this. It says, you have died with Christ. You have died to your sins, to your former way of life, and now because of him, in him, you have been raised to walk in newness of life. You are a new creation. You can't go, oh, I'm gonna be an old creation again. That's not possible. It's gone. You are new. You are forgiven, and you are given eternal life. He has got you. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29 says this. Jesus says, I give them, my sheep, eternal life. Notice that again. I give them, he says, eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. Romans 8:38. I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sit in that therefore for a second. These are not intended to make you doubt your faith. These are intended to help us. See, ultimately, we're gonna see this in a few weeks when we study in chapter 3. Ultimately, perseverance to the end. And when I say perseverance to the end, here's what I mean. When Jesus returns and you see him face to face, or when he calls you home through death and you see him face to face, perseverance to the end proves our faith's authenticity. And one of the means that the Holy Spirit uses to preserve his people is these warnings in his word. heed the warning. And by the way, you will heed the warning if you're a child of God. An indication that you're a believer, that you're a child of God, is that when you begin to drift away from the Lord, he does what? He warns you. He graciously warns you through his word, through his people, by his spirit. And we'll find out later in Hebrews that he'll actually discipline you in his love, convict you of your sin. Why? So that he can bring you back to himself. Craig Koester wrote a book on Hebrews, and he summarized the warnings this way. He said, warnings are not designed to rob people of hope, but they are designed to steer them away from danger in order to preserve them so that they might persevere and inherit what has been promised. Warning. Warning. What's the warning? The warning from verse 1 that we see is don't drift. Don't drift from the truth that you've heard, from what God has spoken to us through the Son of God. The word drifting here, it's the idea of a boat that isn't anchored or has broken away from its anchor or it's not tied to the dock. And it's drifting out to sea. It's drifting off course. And there's no one at the wheel and no one steering it in the right direction. So my question for us today, church, is this. Are we drifting? Are you drifting? Not paying serious attention to the truth of Jesus Christ and his word. Moving too quickly past the therefores. I've called this before, I call it lazy river Christianity. Hey, we're just sitting on the raft. Just letting the tides take us wherever the tides take us with no intentionality, no purpose, no recognition of the importance of what lies ahead. Just drifting, distracted, busy, lazy, just going through the motions in our Christian walk. You're like, well, I show up to church. I volunteer every so often. I read my Bible. And I would say, to what end? Is it affecting your life? Is seriousness about Jesus and what he's called you to and love for him and joy and faith resulting from your walk with him? A little while ago, Amy and I went to a conference, and when we went to this conference, we rented a car. And this car had all the like new doodads on it and the gizmos and all the electronics. It was awesome. And it had something I'd never had on a car before. It had this lane assist alarm. Okay, so every time, and here's the thing. What I found out, first of all, was I drift a lot. Well, just a lot. There you go, hon. I admitted it publicly. I drift in my driving a lot. And every time you would get close to one of the lines, it would flash which line it was that you were getting close to on the screen, and then it would beep. And incredibly annoyingly, it would start by beeping like beep, beep, which was just your warning. But if you didn't listen, if you didn't heed it, you'd get closer and it'd get faster. It'd go beep, 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 beep. Like, and I just drift a lot. And the reason I drift a lot is because there's a lot to see in this world. And so I look at it, like, right, there's a skunk on the side of the road. There's a place I'd love to eat. Oh, look, that person is driving right next to us. You know, I think I saw them two states ago, you know, kind of thing. And you're just drifting. And so I was getting really annoyed by the lane assist that kept going off. So my solution was, we need to find a place to stop, because I'm going to pull over, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to turn this setting off. And my wife's gentle and sarcastic response to that was, hon, I think I have a better solution. Watch the road, you know? Like, fix your eyes on something and stop looking around, okay? And why is that important? Here's why that's important. I think that's a picture of what we're seeing here, right? I wasn't in the other lane yet. I hadn't yet driven off the road. I hadn't yet veered into oncoming traffic and caused a crash. That hadn't happened yet. I was drifting. And so a warning bell was sounding in order to warn me of the danger of drifting too far. Remember the nature of these warnings that we're going to see here. They are a means of grace for our help from the Lord. And he's saying, warning, believer, don't drift. Warning, believer, don't drift from the truth that you have heard in and through Jesus Christ. Warning, believer, don't just lazy river it along. Why? What's the danger of drifting? Let's keep going and we'll see. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Okay, put your thinking caps here in a second, because there's an argument that he's going to walk us through that I want us to see, but it's not easy sledding. Okay, here we go. Verse 2, since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable. You remember what the message was that was declared by angels? We saw this last week. Angels, we know from scripture, from here, from Galatians chapter 3, from Deuteronomy 33, angels were somehow involved with mediating and delivering the Mosaic law from God to Moses and God's people. Okay, so the message, the old covenant, the Mosaic law was declared by angels, and it was what? It proved to be reliable. Okay, it was true. It was good. It was from God. Remember back chapter 1, verse 1, long ago, many times, in many ways, God spoke. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, okay? But it was provisional. It was incomplete. It was good. It was from the Lord, but it was pointing forward to something better with its promises. And that better has now come in the Son of God, who fulfills all the promises of the old covenant. Okay, keep going. So, for since this message, the old covenant, the Mosaic law, was declared by angels, and it proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. The law of God, it called people to trust Yahweh, to trust his promises, to obey his commands. And if you didn't, there were penalties. There were just punishments for breaking the law of God, for rebelling against the holy God. Okay, so he's walked us through this. Now, verse 3, then what's the danger? What are you saying? He says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect? This word neglect, it could also be translated disregard. In Matthew chapter 22, it's used in order to express the idea of finding something more compelling than something else. So in this context, he's saying, you're tempted to find the old covenant more compelling than Jesus Christ. And what's happening through this verses is it's this argument that he's doing from lesser to greater. There's an escalation that's happening here, okay? Summarized, it would be this. If the law was reliable, if it was good, and it is, and it's from God, and it was delivered by angels, and disobedience received a just penalty, how much more will we be held accountable for neglecting the complete, final, definitive revelation of God in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the answer to that is, how will we escape? Ultimately, we won't escape. You see, the earthly judgments under the Mosaic law will pale compared to the eternal judgment for rejecting the Son and the good news about him. John 3:36 says this, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see eternal life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on them. He goes on to tell us why this greater salvation revealed in Jesus Christ is so reliable. Look at verse 3 again. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Why is it so great? Look, first, it was declared at first by the Lord. Jesus himself, the Son of God, came proclaiming it. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Jesus shows up on scene. And you know what he says? He says, the kingdom of God has come near, is at hand. How has it come near? In his person and work. I almost feel like he was in that moment. He was like, the kingdom of God is near. And they're like, where's it at? He's like, you're getting warmer. It's right here. So in light of that, repent and believe the good news, he says. Not just that. It was declared at first by the Lord, and then it was attested to us by those who heard. Now, probably here, they are second generation Christians. And so they're talking about the original hearers, the apostles, the disciples, the eyewitnesses to the person and the work and the death and the resurrection and the teachings of Jesus Christ. They bore witness to it too. So the Lord and now the apostles and the disciples. And then last verse 4, he says, while God also bore witness. God bore witness. He authenticated the identity of his son and the good news about him with his miraculous works and the gifts of the Spirit. All that, in other words, to say, this revelation from God, the identity of the Son and his work of salvation is very clear and has lots of evidence to its truth. Therefore, don't drift. Don't neglect it. So what do we do? What do we do? Go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. We need to heed the warning. Pay much closer attention to what we have heard. This pay attention to, it's the idea of hold on to, or get this is cool, anchor yourself to. To what? To what you've heard. Right? To hear in scripture, remember, is more than just physically hearing a sound, okay? I do this all the time with my kids. I'll be sitting there at night, kind of vegging out. They'll be talking to me, and they'll say something. They'll ask me something. I'll nod to it just as a response, and they're like, Dad, you're not listening. I said, I'm totally listening. I heard what you said, and they're like, yeah, but your actions didn't match what you affirmed that you heard. That's the biblical understanding of what it means to hear in scripture. It's not just physically hearing. It's listening to understand. It's believing appropriately and responding rightly. And so pay close attention to what you have heard. In other words, believe it and obey it. Who? Jesus. What? His word. So let's end like this. Two warnings. First, to those of you that are here who haven't yet placed your trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Warning. Beep, 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 beep. Warning. Without him, you will perish eternally. Without him, you face the only hope that you face is his just wrath for your sin that has been against a holy God. Hear me. Jesus has come. Jesus has come and accomplished salvation for all who will place their trust in him. Look to him today. Repent of your sins. Repentance has the idea of turning away from something and turning to something else instead. Repent of your sins and believe. Romans chapter 10 says this, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he is King, Savior, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He will save you, and he will keep you, and he will persevere you to the end by his grace. And this morning, if you have never placed your trust in him, you are bound for destruction. And this is now your warning to say, turn away, turn to what will save you, which is Jesus Christ. And right where you're at, between you and him, you can do that today. And before you leave, I would ask that you would do this. Tell somebody that you made that decision to follow him so that we can come alongside of you and be a help to you and help you understand what exactly that means and what it looks like to follow him. Second group, believers. Church, warning. Warning, which by the way, if you look down there at verse 1 of chapter 2 again, you can see we shouldn't be too quick to individualize this. Notice what he says. He says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. He's including even himself in this warning to the church. Warning, church. Don't drift away. Don't neglect your great salvation lane warning. Beep, 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 beep. Fix your eyes on the prize, the greatest treasure, Jesus Christ. Listen to him, obey him, love him, cling to him, look to him for everything. Persevering in our faith starts by seeing him rightly in all of his glory. Persevering in our faith starts by looking at the therefore and realizing that it is who he is that is our hope. Because of him, we have hope. Because of him, we have our great salvation. That's where it all starts and ends and keeps us anchored. And then what do? We spend the rest of our lives and the rest of eternity paying close attention to him, the truth about him and from him and this great salvation. Hear me, church. He has laid hold of us in salvation. He will not abandon us. And in light of that, continually, day by day, no lazy river Christianity here. Continually, day by day, choose to lay hold of him by faith and continue to trust him and obey him and pay close attention to him. If you are here today, believer, and as you think about this with the Lord, you're like, you know what? I am drifting. I'm drifting. And that could look a thousand different ways in our lives, couldn't it? But I am. I see that in my life. I'm not paying close attention to my Lord and to the life that he would have me live and the truths about who he is and my salvation today. Do you know what? You confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You, again, you're like, what do I do? You repent. And you believe afresh, day by day by day, as we cling to the one who has laid hold of us. Look to Jesus. Father, oh, I'm going to ask two things, Lord, this morning for us as a church. First, would we, Lord, so easily in the fullness of our lives, we just forget. We just go about our daily lives and forget your beauty and your holiness. Your wonder. We forget to worship you in all of that. We forget We forget how great our salvation, the mercy and the grace that we have been shown because Jesus Christ took our penalty. Lord, would you help us to daily remember the therefores. Would you make it difficult for us to forget? Would everything we see and experience in our daily lives, by your Spirit, would we find some way to rejoice in your wonder through it all, Lord? Would you help us to be a people quick to praise you moment by moment by moment as we remember who you are and what you have done, Lord? And then I ask that you would you keep us from drifting? Would you, through your word, by the power of your Spirit, and through our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, warn us. Help us to heed the warning and return to you afresh and persevere in our faith in the midst of whatever this life throws at us, Lord. Oh, you are incredible. Help us to hold fast to you, to fight for our faith, starting in our own hearts because of what you have already accomplished through Jesus Christ. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.